Milwaukee Bucks. Green and growing, better each year.
Green and growing,
the Bucks don't stop here.
When we need answers about the Milwaukee Bucks, we go to the source. You hear him on every Bucks broadcast. His color analysis, his pregame, his postgame, Bucks Talk, Bucks House, the real estate show that's still in the works. It is our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia. Justin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing pretty good overall, I suppose.
All right. We've got too much NBA playoff discussion that we can't take a tour of your shoe collection like I was hoping to at some point. So we'll have to save that for one of the days the Tausch is out and you're doing the show from Nike Central. Help me understand. Were the Bucks interested in winning their last game and getting the number two seed, or were they less than enthusiastic about that possibility?
It seemed like they were playing to win that game. They played everybody they had. Doc Rivers said before the game there was going to be monitoring of minutes, which we didn't really see come into play until the fourth quarter when the game was out of reach. But this was not what we saw with Cleveland, where the Cavaliers inexplicably just punted the game and said, we're fine with being fourth and on the same side of the bracket as the Celtics. They seemingly were playing to win. It was really just a disastrous second quarter that doomed them.
So now they end up with the Pacers as their matchup as the three seed. Is this good news, bad news, doesn't matter news unless Giannis is healthy enough to play news? Because they, correct me if I'm wrong, they lost 4 of 5 to the team they are now matched up with.
That is correct. I think it is more of the latter in what you just said there is, we don't know what Giannis's status is, and that's ultimately going to determine any of these matchups and how far the Bucks will go. I will say this. I think given the options that the Bucks had, if you don't have Giannis for, let's say, at least the start of this series and potentially all of this series, which is a very real possibility, I think the Pacers are a better alternate than possibly going up against the 76ers or to a lesser extent the Miami Heat. I understand why Bucks fans are still very worried about them, but it is a very different team than they were a season ago. I think the ultimate scenario that frightened everyone is Joel Embiid is back. He looks very good. And if you don't have Giannis, this is going to be a massive challenge.
Yeah, is there anybody right now in the East that you feel great about matching up with the way the Bucks are playing?
You don't feel great, certainly. And look, that's the weird part about this year. Damian Lillard kind of joked about it after the game, is that anybody can beat anybody. I think really the Celtics are the only team in the Eastern Conference that say, we feel like we're going far. We feel like we're good. And even that, you know, that could get interesting. As we said, the Bucks fear in any team's fear, clearly Cleveland's fear of the 76ers being the 7th seed. What if they lose that first game and they're the 8th seed and you have Philadelphia versus Boston in the first round? That this year, I think if that's the scenario, you're going to have all four series where the underdog is saying, we think we're going to win this series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you see how things shook out yesterday and some, you know, you mentioned Milwaukee gave it a run, tried to beat Orlando, understanding it. The Knicks found a way to win and get to the 2 seed. The fact that there is this much jockeying and not tanking, but lack of effort into winning games, to me, is a bad sign for the league. What do you do about it?
I heard your guys' discussion before. I don't know that there's really anything you can do about it. I think that option that Kevin O'Connor pointed to, and you guys kind of alluded to this too, I'm not going to say impossible. It is highly unlikely because of the play-in tournament. There is no way around that, where if you're saying, okay, you choose who you want and waiting to do this draft until the very last minute after all of that has been decided, that is logistically impossible when you're mapping out 16 arenas and working around an NHL schedule and everything else. So I get the rationale behind that. I don't think it's a possibility in terms of what you do. I think the league would say overall they feel good about what they've done because of the play-in tournament. I get what it's done to the top half of the bracket, but it's put more interest and more spark in those teams that are outside of that, that we have seen a more competitive nature. And I think that really was one of the two challenges. This has been part of it for years. When you think back to, we saw it a lot more in the Western Conference, where it was bunched up and you had a number of teams with a similar record where you'd go into that final weekend and you would say, okay, maybe it's better if we actually lose this game. Hasn't been as common in the East because it's been very top heavy in years past. But the other big issue was, you know, what are we doing with the last 10 teams in the league, that this is basically creating meaningless games, half of your schedule every night. And that's changed somewhat because of the play-in tournament. So I think overall they'd say, look, we've addressed part of it and we're happy with that.
And let's not forget the Heat were in the play-in tournament last year. I understand all their struggles earlier in the year, et cetera, and injuries, whatever. But we saw what they did last year in the playoffs. Let me ask you this. So take away the logistics, because your point is well taken, right? There's a bunch of NBA teams that share arenas with NHL teams, all those issues. The idea of actually picking your opponent, I don't want to sound like Tausch, but it is sexy. Like, it does. I really do like the idea and what the ancillary benefits would be. Do you agree with that? And do you see, logistics aside, would it be good for the league if you could pull it off?
I would be all for it if you can pull it off. I do agree with that. I don't think the teams and players would agree with that because of the inverse and what that would create of, oh, so you think you can beat us.
Right.
Especially when you think about that draft process and going one by one where the top four
intriguing?
Seeds you get to draft.
It is
to the fans. It is to the fans.
And the players,
I don't know
too.
How intriguing it is
JG,
to the
these guys love having little chips on their shoulders, and they love being able to jar at each other. Yes.
The players do,
they're
sure.
Petty. This
sure.
is a petty group. This is a petty
the organizations,
group.
Kind of like
though,
this show.
In the front office. Yeah.
Can you stick around, or do you have to, like, shine up your shoes?
No, I can stick around.
All right. More with our friend Justin Garcia. More insights. I did not realize Dame's stat line from yesterday. I'm wondering if I should be concerned about that. We will ask Justin that and more as we roll on with our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Bucks buddy Justin Garcia, as the Bucks have their matchup. They do not have to wait for the play-in tournament results. I guess that's a positive, except for the fact that the Pacers beat them 4 out of 5. Justin, two things. One, does it help that at least they know who they're playing? Is that an advantage, or would you rather play a lower seeded matchup and have to wait?
I mean, it helps some. It's very helpful that, you know, it's not waiting until Friday like you did last year as the one seed and waiting for the second play-in tournament game. I know that there's more prep that goes into it and that you can kind of take it team by team and say, we know it's going to be one of these two teams and half of your staff and video coordinators are going through that. The other half is going through the other team. But it is easier to just say, okay, we know it's this team. Let's get started on that. And look, familiarity, too, with the team. That you played them 5 times, you referenced, you lost 4 of those. But these are also 2 very different teams since the last time that they played. All of those games were played in the first 60 days of the regular season. January 3rd was the last time they played. So the Bucks have a new coach. They've made some changes. Pacers are down some big personnel pieces. Benedict Mathurin's out for the season. Buddy Hield was traded. You didn't face Pascal Siakam in any of those games, so that is the other part of it. But they're just 2 very different teams.
Damian Lillard's stat line yesterday in 30 minutes and 23 seconds. He made 2 of 14 shots from the floor. He was 0 for 4 from three-point range, 12 of 13 from the free throw line, 16 points. Plus minus, he was minus 8. It is, I know, I don't think the watch has been delivered. I don't know if there was a Joe Katz meeting or not, but it is, it's Dame time. Dame time. Are you a little bit concerned that that clock is not running like a fine Swiss timepiece?
I mean, you certainly have elevated concern, because this was yesterday's stat line, the sixth time this season that Damian Lillard made less than 20% of his shots in a game. He did it one time last year with the Portland Trail Blazers, six times this year, 11 times that he shot worse than 30%. And look, it's not as though he's going to knock down 50%+ of his shots and be superhuman. But I think a lot of the thought was, okay, we expect the numbers to take a backseat, the aggregated, the county numbers to move back a little bit because of Giannis. But because of Giannis, the efficiency should be elevated. That's what we've seen with Giannis this mm-hmm. season. You just haven't seen it with Dame. And in fairness, it has been a bigger adjustment for Dame than it has for Giannis. It may be unfair to put that pressure on him, especially as we don't know the availability of Giannis. But the reality is, the Bucks are not going to go far with or without Giannis, if that is what you're consistently getting from Damian Lillard, because you tailored this team to be more of an offensive team than a defensive team. So if your defense is what it's been under Doc Rivers, which is just better than league average, if your offense is elite, that should be good enough. It just has not been consistently elite since Doc took over. I will say this, though. It just, as I said, it's unfair to heap those expectations on Dame. A lot of the discourse that's taking place about Doc Rivers is extremely unfair when you're pointing to the record and saying, well, they were 30-13 when they made this change, and now they're below 500 under Doc. They had a much more difficult schedule. They played more road games than home games. They had 16 games without Chris Middleton. They had Dame and Brooke Lopez out of the lineup. They closed the season without Giannis. So it's not a like-for-like comparison, but the point remains, you need Damian Lillard to be closer to the guy that he was in Portland than what we've seen throughout the regular season if this team's going to go far.
Are we going to get that?
That's the million-dollar question. I think, look, If you're optimistic, these are Dame's moments, right? When you look at the biggest memories you have of Damian Lillard, it's in these spots. And granted, he hasn't had as much because of the team's success in Portland, but this is where he's been at his best. And, you know, that's the thing, too, is the Bucks are a super team. As much as we may not want to acknowledge it, if you got Giannis and Dame, you're a super team. And the reason for super teams is what the Bucks are in right now. If one star goes out, you got this other guy to kind of prop up the rest. And that's the pressure and expectations that are going to be on Dame. And to a lesser extent, Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez. But Dame's the biggest name in that group. So that's what you're expecting from him moving forward here.
All right. So we get that. But I saw Shams had a report out on Giannis that it's very much up in the air for game one for Giannis. If you had a guess, and I know you're a journalist, how much, if at all, will Giannis play in this first series?
All right. Not to take a cop-out approach, I really have no idea. God. It's the same as...
Yes!
But I'll add a caveat.
This is like me with the center question to start the show. I love it.
It's the same as yesterday when I was asked by a few people, where do you think the Bucks are going to finish? And said, you know, honestly, I have no idea because of all the moving pieces that are in play here. But my inclination is one of these teams will win and maybe the Bucks and the other don't. So I think they're going to finish third was my thought going into yesterday.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Nailed it.
We have no idea. I think he's going to miss. And again, this is reckless speculation.
That's
I think he's
going to
miss at least half of the series. I think he's going to miss half the series, maybe more. I mean, this is a serious injury. And look, I get that calves, hamstrings, all of it is different for everybody. But I think the trap that Bucks fans may be setting up for themselves is, well, Giannis is a quick healer, and look at what he did in the 2021 finals. It's just not the same every time.
Right.
And, you know, sooner or later, that health reserve runs dry. You can't keep reaching in there and relying on that. I think you have to approach this thinking he is going to miss this series, even if he comes back, and just say, how do we tailor our game plan to beat the Pacers without Giannis? The good thing is, first-round series do take longer than any other series because of TV and the amount of teams that are playing and how they spread it out. So if you can get through Indiana without Giannis, which, again, you should be able to do, that could buy him even more rest. And the hope is he's ready for the late stretch of the postseason, because that's the one benefit of yesterday. Yeah, you didn't get the two seed. Maybe that's good in that if it's Philly, you don't have to face Philly. But you avoided the Celtics half of the bracket, so you prolonged that even more. To where you would face them, it would only be in the conference finals, and by then the hope is he is back and he is as close to, if not fully healthy.
And you told us that repeatedly, how important it was to avoid the Celtics as long as you could, and they did succeed on that. All right, last thing for you before we let you go. And you know what high regard I have for you. You make my ballet commute.
Here comes JG. You know he's coming with something.
I'm not, actually. What did I do wrong now? No, not at all, actually. It's not that. It's that I'm going to put you in a tough spot where I don't know if you know the answer to this. But I appreciate you accompanying me for all my Milwaukee drives. I love Bucks talk. I love your avid callers, the same ones that call every post-game show. I enjoy all of it. So I don't mean to put you on the spot. But do you know the number of games this season, because I don't, that Giannis, Damian Lillard, and Chris Middleton all played in the game together? Because this is part of why I don't know what to expect from this team. In addition to Giannis's injury, your big three, like, this isn't Ray, Big Dog, and Sam Cassell, light it up, where they played together all the time. This is not, you bring in a new guy and he hasn't played, they haven't all three played together nearly as much as the Bucks would want. Agreed?
100%. And again, that's the lens you have to view the whole Doc Rivers record and everything else under, is the Bucks not only had an easier schedule, one of the easiest in the league, those first 40 plus games, they were also very fortunate with their health. I know we talked about it on this show too, like, man, Giannis has played 17 consecutive games, and the amount of games that Giannis and Dame missed for the first 2.5-3 months of the season, it was three total. So you had all of those guys together for an extended period. The only injury the Bucks really had to deal with was Jay Crowder for those first 3 months of the season. It all shifted. I don't know how much it was season as a whole. It was a significant chunk early in the season, but since Doc Rivers took over, it's been, I believe, six games that you've had that trio on the floor together. And it was, you know, up until Chris recently returned, it was just 110 minutes that you had those guys on the floor together.
Less than ideal. All right. We will see how it plays out. Stay by your phone and by your shoe rack, because I'm sure we'll be calling again soon. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
I can go down the street and leave that watch at Joe Katz. I'm just afraid somebody else is going to claim it and Tausch.
You have to hold off. I don't know. My next Joe Katz appearance might be a while.
Wonder if Spree got one yet.
He's got his own watch. Never mind. All right, JG, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
All right, see you guys.
If this plays out the way we hope it will, I'm really eager to see what they can do in the second round. But they have to get there. And I don't think any of us, including Justin, the way he sounded, are uber confident that that's what's going to
happen. I feel much more confident than I thought I would.
Really?
The matchup, how it played up. Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that Justin could help you with that. Associated Bank can help you with your banking, just like Justin helped us with our expectations. And if you're a Packers fan, there's no better place to be than Associated Bank. Go to AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more about Packers Checking, which gets you a 10% discount at the Packers Pro Shop in-store and online, gets you that nifty Packers debit MasterCard, and gets you the best customer service in the industry. Go to AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.